You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Crescent Under the Southern Cross is a short documentary that tells the story of four Muslim men who served for the Australian Defence Forces during World War II. Last week, the director of the film, Dr. Simon Wilmot, spoke about why these men were in Australia and what they did during the war. This week, in part two, Dr. Wilmot highlights how these men were treated after the war and the effect the White Australia immigration policy had on them. He also discusses why it is important to remember these men's story. This week, he begins by sharing what was promised to them upon their return.
So the men who joined Special Forces, and there were quite a number of these Pearl Divers, they were promised things, and it seems that they were promised naturalisation and they were promised houses and all sorts of things, and none of this happened. But the two men that we followed, Abu Qasim, who was really crucial in the liberation, I'll use that in inverted commas, of Sarawak from the Japanese, he came back in late 45 and he seems to have had leukemia. And so he was quite sick. And before, sometime in the early 40s, he partnered with an Aboriginal woman from the Broome area and had two children. And this was frowned upon by the local authorities, particularly the protector of Aborigines up in that way, who had banned them from being married and at some point removed the children from the couple because they weren't married and Abu Qasim was a foreigner at that point. And when Abu Qasim left Broome to go to Perth, his daughters were in an orphanage. Now, while he was away, and what happened to him, his family didn't know. His Aboriginal partner didn't know. And she married another man while he was away. And when Abu Qasim came back, he found this other man who now was looking after his daughters. And Abu Qasim got along with this fella and kind of was, I think he knew he was dying. And so he was, that's hearsay from my point of view. For the film, we didn't get a chance to talk to his daughters, one of whom still is alive. The other one, unfortunately, passed away in December. So his family was then separated. Now, interestingly, the woman he'd partnered with and married this other fella, they had three additional children after that. And one of those is Pat Dodson, Senator Pat Dodson, who's known as the father of reconciliation in Australia. He's a very important First Nations leader in Australia, and his brother Mick has also been a very important activist. So the experience between the Indonesians and the Albanians is quite different in that the Indonesians had a very bad time, and Samsudin's story is pretty amazing too. Sorry, just to add this one back in, he ends up in Melbourne working for the Holden Motor Company at Fisherman's Bend plant. When he sought naturalisation and they realised he was still an indented labourer, he was sent back to Broome. But while he was in Melbourne, he'd been in contact with the Indonesian freedom movement, and he became, his sense of himself must have grown enormously from his war service, and he ends up being a significant agitator for better working conditions for the Indonesians. And the Perling bosses are furious, and they get him deported. And he dies 2 years later in Singapore. Now, the Albanians, the first of them, Rem Ali, he ends up in one of the most appalling prisoner of war camps the Australians experienced, which is that Tantui camp in Ambon, where 70% of the men died. And he died, unfortunately. He died 3 months before the Tantui camp was liberated. And he's buried in a grave on Ambon, and his grave is marked with a cross. And he seemed to have married a Christian woman sometime in the 1940s. Her name was Sylvia, and nothing really was she sort of seems to have disappeared from the record, although recently I've tracked down her family and tracked down where she is or where she passed away. But she'd certainly disappeared. Her name is left on the grave, but no one knows what happened. But why he's got a cross on the grave is not clear. There's a suggestion that he might have converted to Christianity in an attempt to naturalize. Rem Ali's the other Albanian, Xavier Shamali, is the story of hope. Where hope actually finds ground he settles down in Victoria. He becomes successful at labouring and builds some wealth and his position in the around the shepherding community. And he then went back to Albania or back to Europe in the early 1960s and managed to. He couldn't get into Albania. He got into Montenegro. He marries an Montenegrin Albanian woman and comes back and has a family and settles down in around the Shepparton area with the rest of these kind of ex-Kerbet men. And they build a community out there. And the first purpose-built mosque in Australia is built by the Albanians in the Shepparton area. And certainly for him, war service was significant in his integration into Australian regional life, and his war service was recognised by people. He was able to use that to overcome some prejudices and discrimination. And his family's very proud of it, of that service. And the Albanian community generally is now beginning to recognise and understand that it had many men, many of its grandfathers and fathers and great grandfathers now were in the Second World War and had contributed to the Second World War. So it's an increasing point of pride for that community in seeing themselves much more integrated into Australia.
And just finally, why is it important to tell these stories, particularly with Anzac Day in Australia and over here in New Zealand as well? Why do you think it's important that we remember these men and their unique individual stories?
Well, memorialising and commemorating war is a complicated thing. That's not only the importance of recognising individuals who've sacrificed their lives for for a common good. Always these things are contestable, of course, but whether or not we believe that men should have gone to war in Iraq or Vietnam, you know, the death of people in war is a tragedy. It's a terrible thing, and of course we should remember those people. But it's also terribly bound up with the notion of a nation, the narrative of a nation. It's the way the idea of a nation is expressed. You know, it's in the case of Australia, because the Second World War happened under the White Australia policy, non-white Australians who contributed to the war, their stories were excluded. Now when Australia is a much more multicultural place and people are looking for how they connect to the national story, remembering these stories and highlighting them is one way we can create connections, or migrants actually are creating those connections themselves to the notion of Australianness. So, and the Anzac story is a way people connect to nation. It's always, it was invented for that purpose back into the First World War. It was part of the invention of the idea of Australia rather than the idea of a kind of British outpost. And so it continues to be a site in which we are creating the Australian narrative.
That was part two of a two-part interview with Dr. Simon Wilmot on his documentary Crescent Under the Southern Cross and the story of Muslim Anzacs that served in World War II.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.